Thanks very much for inviting me. And apparently this talk is in a series to do with the Buddhist Action Month.
Yeah.
And which is to do with activism generally, isn't it? Engaged Buddhism generally, but in particular tonight. The connection is with nature, our relationship with nature. I think some of you probably know that I've got a connection with a movement in Britain called Buddhafield, who do events in tents in the woods and fields of usually West England. And one time, this is quite a long time ago now actually, but I led a camping retreat with them, and apparently one of the most committed retreatants on this retreat was a large dog called Brian. Have I told you this story before? Even if I have, it's still important, because Brian, the dog, he sat through every sit. You know, we were sitting double meditation in the morning, double meditation before lunch, double meditation in the afternoon, one meditation and puja in the evening. He was there for every sit. And he was, like, totally serene. And he looked very happy, as though he was smiling. Very well-behaved dog. And we joked, of course, about, you know, Brian being enlightened or the only person who could meditate on this retreat. But even if he wasn't enlightened, I think we all felt that he represented something really quite serious and profound, because being an animal, he represented something about the real natural outdoor life. You know, a being who just lived directly in nature. There's something about that that we all appreciated, because we were, I guess, we were human beings. Thinking about it now, actually, we were human beings meditating in nature, much less familiar for us than it was for Brian. And it is the way that the Buddha lived for most of his life, the way of life he chose as well. He had everything, really, if he wanted to live in some smart, you know, special centre, you know, in the town, like you're thinking of getting. You know, he could have done that, but he chose to live in nature, and he's well known for having been born under a tree, for living almost his entire life under a tree, and also dying under a tree. Personally, I really like trees. If I were asked, I would hug one. I would hug a tree, you know. One of the great things about going on retreat, I imagine lots of you have been on retreats at Ariloka and other places, and one of the great things about that is, again, you go into more natural surroundings. And I think it's reasonable to ask, why do that? Why don't we just do it here, you know, or why don't we just do it in our front room or something like that? What is the advantage of living close to the elements from the point of view of spiritual practice? Is there some special relationship? And I think this chimes with our whole relationship with nature. The elements, the traditional elements of earth, water, fire, and air, are a Buddhist way of expressing the essentials of the whole. It's a way of talking about it. The Buddha often refers to them. He refers to them in the Satipatthana Sutta, in the classic teaching on mindfulness. He talks about the body in terms of the elements. And when I talk about the universe, from the Buddhist perspective, the universe isn't just what's out there. You don't necessarily have to think of, you know, everything out there, space, the black holes all out there. You know, it's not just what's out there. It's also what's in here. It also includes the observer. This is really, really important part of the Buddhist idea of the universe. And I think the universe, or nature as we could also call it, can be a profound teacher. We're still asking this question, why can it be helpful? And I think the question remains because these elements of earth, water, fire, and air aren't necessarily so pleasant to live with. It's fine to look at nature. It's beautiful to look at. But do you really want to live around nature? Do you really want to live in nature? In real life, the earth is hard, stony, muddy, dirty. Water is wet, damp. You know, we'd actually rather keep our nice carpets, hot running water, mains electricity. We don't want just an earth toilet. We don't want to just be in a situation where water has to be carried in buckets. We don't want to be in a situation where the fire has to be kept going or else it just goes out. Maybe for a holiday, maybe for a nice retreat in the country, but not all the time. So why is nature considered to be important as a support for practice, as the Buddha obviously thought himself?